Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got an awesome, awesome show. We've got two people who've been on the show before, but when I first talk about this young man here, who was he was on Indie Film Cafe Spotlight, and one of his movies was on our show last year, which he befriended us from that, which we were scared. We did not know if he'd actually, you know, sometimes you never know how people are going to react when you review their films. And thankfully, he was very happy with them. I've actually said in my recap, I would lessen my rating because after watching some of the movies that we've already reviewed, they were a lot worse than what I you know, fortunately gave his movie, which was Biker Warrior Babe versus the Zombie Babies from Hell. Oh my God. That is still a hard title to say without like having it right in front of me and saying it. But please welcome Jeremiah Morehouse. How you doing, Jeremiah?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Good. I'm very excited to have you. And I'm also very, very excited to have Sarah Atkins. How are you doing, Sarah?
Hey, everybody.
Sarah. I'm back. Yeah, she's back, but you've been on the show. I think this would be your third season being on the show at some point, right? Yeah. So, and she's also a co-host of our show, Horror Film Lovers. And yeah. So she's part of the network. I love that on your Facebook, it actually says podcaster now. It's so cute.
Right? You know? I've done enough of them now where I could legitimately say that.
Yes, you are a podcaster now. And we're hoping to get Jeremiah more on these shows because, you know.
I'm hoping to branch out a little bit too and do some stuff on my own now that I finally have a little podcast space for it. So we should be doing a lot more and you could be my guest.
That'd be fantastic. I would love that. All right. So we're here to talk about a movie that I had this plan for somebody else, and unfortunately they couldn't make it. And so I asked Sarah at the last minute if she would come on for today and do it. And she gracefully said, sure. Having not known it was an action film to begin with, and not her cup of tea. But we're going to be talking about Deadly Prey, which does sort of sound like a horror film. You know,
right?
Like, and the director has done horrors too, you know. So, but
the only thing that would have made it, like, if they would have put a monster in it, then we could call it a horror film and that would have helped the movie so much.
Probably. But we'll be talking about that. But before we get into that, how about we listen to some mood music? All right, we are back. We're going to talk about the 1987. And I know this because Sarah pointed it out that it was her birth year.
That she right? I'm 1987 as well. This movie did come out in November, and I'm December. So this was a month before me.
Yeah, it came out, then you came out.
Once, you know, like I waited.
you would have waited another month at least. and Jeremiah, you said you actually have some background that you picked up on it, right? You know, looking.
I mean, a little. There's not tons of information that I could find, but a few little bits of trivia, sure.
What can you tell us that you learned?
That he actually eats real worms in the movie. Yeah.
The way he ate that worm kind of upset me. Because I'm like, why wouldn't you just put the whole thing in your mouth? He was eating it like so fancy, like taking little niblets off of it. I'm like, just shove it in your mouth. Get it over with. Right.
Yeah.
He really does eat it in the most disgusting way possible.
Okay. Well, we'll probably get into that. Jeez. All right. Maybe we should save all the like trivia for after we talk about the story a little bit, or the quote unquote story, I guess. So who wants to sum up what this movie is about?
You should. Definitely not me.
Okay. Well, I'll do it unless Jeremiah, you want to do it.
I took notes, and my summary and my notes were, it's like the most dangerous game if the most dangerous game barely had a plot.
That is true. Sarah, are you familiar with the most dangerous game?
I am not, but the person I was watching it with made this kind of a very similar joke.
Yeah.
So I do feel like I need to look up that movie, and then I'll get it a little more. But I like the part about, you know, the plot.
Yeah, it's pretty much okay. So yeah, so it starts out with this military group who, I guess they are training to be, I don't know, mercenaries. You know, so they need, so instead of doing a regular training, Sarah, are you okay? I think we lost Sarah for a second. That wasn't the most flattering shot for her to be. Okay, we lost you for a second there. But your face was like this. You know, so which kind of makes sense for this movie. But yeah, so it starts out this mercenary group who are trying to use real people for their tests, you know, and stuff, real victims. And in the story, I guess they kill the one guy, right? And then so they're like, let's get another person. You know, it didn't work out the way we wanted to. Let's go get another person. So, of course, they pick the wrong guy. He happened to be trained by the colonel. And that's pretty much then after that, it's that. And then there's a little side stuff with the wife of the guy and how she gets involved and her father gets involved. And it's just strange, you know, like it there's just a lot. There's a lot that happens. It's like the most dangerous game meets Rambo First Blood, you know, and as Red Letter Media kind of explained it, like First Blood, if they didn't understand First Blood, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I would fully say it, you know?
Which also, one thing you did leave out is he also ran into an old war buddy, I guess, from Vietnam, whose life he had saved, who was one of the mercenaries, and he decided to switch teams and help him survive and fight in the end.
When we mean switch teams, we actually do mean literally switch teams. They didn't, you know.
Well, he was one of the mercenaries hunting him, and you know, I'm sure he would, but you know, like he did definitely switch there and yep. Start helping him kill the other guys.
It was amazing. And I guess we could kind of break it down a little bit more than the plot I just gave. But so like they picked this guy. What was his name? Brayton? Is that was his name?
Danton.
Okay. Yeah.
That one guy kept screaming, Danton!
Yeah, because he was so, yeah. The colonel, right? It was the colonel that kept yelling at him, right?
Or yeah, after the worst ripoff scene from Rambo, they tried to do the, like, he comes out of the darkness and puts the knife to his neck thing. Except in Rambo, it's like beautifully framed and really well timed. And in this one, it's just awkward and not particularly well shot. I know that's coming from me, but.
Well, I'm sure you could have done it a little bit better than they could have, you know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, what was this film shot on film? You know, I wonder.
It had to be.
Like, yeah, because it was the 80s, you know. It did not look like video, though. No. The transfer I showed you guys was very blurry. It was definitely off of a VHS tape, you know? So yeah, I mean, but Sarah had to point that out to me, right, Sarah? Okay. I don't know if your internet's pretty bad there, Sarah, because you keep coming in and out. Okay. Hopefully she'll be right, you know, right back on there. But we lost her completely. She was like, I'm done with this story, you know.
That's how poorly shot the scene was.
Yeah, they're just like, I'm done, you know. Internet's just done with it. And so to go back to kind of what happens is, like, the guy gets picked. He goes out and tries to stop, you know, all the, you know, all the guys that are coming after him, all the different mercenaries, and each one after another fails in some attempt. And eventually he gets kidnapped. Well, actually, hold on. Yep. Sarah, are we back?
Yeah, sorry. Apparently my internet keeps going out.
Yeah, that's what we that's what I figured. So
yeah.
You don't it, since this is audio, you don't need to show your, you know, show your face okay. if you don't need to. But I mean, it does help sometimes, but it, you know, well, it helps us to know whether or not you froze. You know, I guess that'll, you know, unless that, unless is that what messes up the internet? I wonder for no, Zoom sometimes.
For me, like, my internet box is in a really weird place, and if it just gets tapped ever so slightly, it just goes out.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully, hopefully it doesn't get tapped anymore. You know.
Yeah, hopefully it needs to behave.
Yep. All right. So to go back. So yeah. So he kind of takes out people, and then I totally, and I was talking to Jeremiah about this. I didn't realize he went home. You know, I thought he went back to the camp, you know,
right.
In the one scene where he goes back home and then finds out, like, nobody's there and it's the girl. I literally thought he went back into his,
like the camp.
Yeah.
Or something. Okay. I didn't catch that either then.
Ah, I'm like, thank God I'm not the only one. Okay. So yes. So apparently he went back home. He walked home. From
over 70 miles back home,
and then 70 miles back, like, no problem, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, walking. All in less than a day and barefoot.
Yeah, like, he doesn't change anything. Like, even when he's home, he doesn't change anything. You know, you'd think you'd put more clothes on, maybe.
He doesn't call anybody for the, you know, for any sort of help. You know, nothing.
Yeah. Why would you do that? I mean, go back and just, you know. But yeah, so he gets there and he finds out his wife has been kidnapped, and then the girl gives him the phone. So I did think it was a little weird that he had a phone. They had the phone inside that, but I mean, I figured it's a military thing, you know,
satellite phone.
Yeah. And so anyway, the guy calls and says, "We have your girl, you know, blah blah blah. You know, just meet us out there." And so he goes back and. Starts, you know, well, first she puts down the gun, as Jeremiah pointed out to me. She puts down the gun, and then, you know, I just thought that was so funny. Like, who the fuck, like, if you know this guy's a murderer, like, right. Why would you, like, give the only weapon, like, in his, you know? And it was almost as if she was just, like, asking him to kill her, you know, in a way,
right?
And that's after she said, "I can't wait for you to die," or some line like that.
Right.
Just like,
well, yeah. And, you know, she, you know, it was a very poorly acted scene where it looked like she got into a tickle fight because she couldn't stop laughing, where in the actual movie she was getting raped. And then her dad came in and she's like, "He raped me." And it's just like, she wasn't really crying that bad. It looked like she was trying not to laugh through the whole scene. You know, and then her dad got shot right in front of her, and there was no blood, no overreacting, just I'm like, I think I would have acted a little strongly upset for both of those things.
Well, I mean, I don't know who this actress is. I don't think she's ever acted after this. You know?
I don't think she has either.
I think this killed her like love for acting, you know. Kind of sad, right, Jeremiah?
I was
not expecting her death scene the way it did, though, when she just got, you know, blasted like that. That was a little out of the blue for me, because, like, I had a feeling she was gonna die, but it seemed a little like, oh crap, they just shot her. And then her husband freaked out, but it's like he didn't even try to go to the body or anything like that. I don't know, I feel like if my spouse got shot in front of me, I would at least go make sure they were dead and couldn't be saved or something, right. But he just went straight into, "I'm gonna avenge your death," which I guess is okay too,
right? I mean,
yeah, it's such an awkward moment. It's super sudden, and then I was caught off guard at that point because I just assumed she was gonna live because she'd made it that far,
right?
So it caught me off guard, and I thought, okay, good for them. They got some gumption to do something unexpected. But then, but you're right. He doesn't check her at all.
Right. Like, there wasn't a payoff to that. It was just kind of like, okay, she's gone. Let's move on.
Yeah. Right. It didn't even seem like he was sad about it or anything.
Right.
You know,
that's
like
what I'm saying. Reactions to these people when something traumatic happens to them is just like, okay.
And, right.
All the way to the end where he tells the guy, he like tells the guy to strip. And my like reaction to hearing that was like, so this just took a different turn there, man. Like,
yeah, right.
I'm like,
oh, this movie's about to get real dark.
it already got dark with the dude cutting off somebody's hand and then beating them to death with it.
Right, that was the most exciting part of the movie, and it was really funny. I just was kept asking, why is there no blood? The whole movie had no blood. Every time somebody got shot, no blood. Anytime the arm got ripped off, no blood. I'm like, there was no blood in this movie.
Anytime people got blown up, they just got blown up.
They just had their boots. Their boots were just sitting there because that's how that works.
But I like that every explosion is exactly the same size explosion. Like, it's obvious that like they bought the same pyrotechnic and they just had like 20 of them and used that for the hand grenades, for the 40-millimeter grenade.
I love how they're chasing him through the woods and they keep running over these traps. And then they keep getting mad that they keep running over these traps. I'm like, you fell for the same thing 4 times. You know that these are there. Either regroup and turn around and go get them a different way or not run through the traps. Like, he kept, every time someone would hit one, they would die. And they're like, oh, screw him. I can't believe these traps. I'm like, that just happened 3 times. Learn.
Yeah, these guys are worse than stormtroopers.
I like stormtroopers.
Well, at least stormtroopers.
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking starship troopers. I like starship troopers.
Yeah.
I like that too, so.
That's a better movie than this, but
starship troopers on one of these shows.
Yeah. Well, maybe I don't know. It's too good of a movie. It's weird. It's like it's a bad movie, but it's too good of one, you know.
But I want to have a movie that I'm not laughing at in like a bad way the whole time. I want to enjoy a movie, Jonathan.
It might be able to fit with horror film lovers. It does have some horror elements to it.
Not a sci-fi, but maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, that I could understand, but like, everybody loves that, but like, you know, as for it's not an indie movie. And so it would have to be on like Film Freaks or one of the other shows.
Right. On something. I'm just saying something. Yeah.
Something. We'll have to get it on something at some point and then have you on it.
Yeah. Mr. Machete over here cutting off that arm was pretty great.
Like, he's about to cut off my head in the picture there.
Yeah. It just looks like when you put your arm down, it looks like you have this really tiny arm sticking out.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, be this way. Ah.
There you go. Yeah,
there I go. Oh, Lord. So the trap scene was so funny because I kept thinking to myself, when did he have time to set up all these traps? Like he didn't think, just their idea of like time was just not consistent of like reality.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Minutes. What?
A montage explains everything. And there's no shortage of montages in this movie.
There's no shortage of montage. Yeah. and like the whole time there's all these different montages throughout the whole thing. And that's typical of 80s action flicks.
For sure.
You know, I kind of expected it, especially so many, because like you have to fill some time, but at least like we watched another movie, and I'm not going to mention what it was because it's coming up on Indie Film Cafe later, but we watched another movie and we already done that review. And that movie had like 10 montages, but it had no point to them at all. You know, they're like boring montages, you know, and everything. Like, it was just like, they were just filler, you know? And this thankfully did not feel like filler. It just what I think when I told Sarah that oh my God, this is a crazy movie, what I meant was like it starts out like action, 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 like it does not let up. There's no really no time to like be bored by this movie, you know, whatsoever.
I mean, there's plenty of time to be bored by the movie, but it did just keep going and going and going.
Right. Well, I mean, the only times that you could be bored are like, I guess, the people talking, you know, or whatever, yeah. not doing the action. What you guys think of the businessman in it? That what was his business? Anybody ever figure that out? Nobody.
No,
I can't remember which character we're talking about.
He was the man who came into the tent and was like, I'm not going to give you any more money if you don't do this, this, and this.
Oh, maybe he was in charge of the whole mercenary program or something like that, I think.
He was, but like, why? Like, what purpose did he have? Like,
probably none.
It's just, yeah, there was no. And then the guy who was the father I think you said he had died in 2000.
Shot. Yeah, the guy who got shot over the desk. Her dad.
Yes. Yeah, her dad. Her dad was fantastic. But he is Cameron Mitchell, who's been in so many bad action flicks. I mean, this guy was around during like the old, you know, 1950s westerns, and you know, he had done so many different things. And then he got somehow or another, I guess he started doing low budget action flicks like this one and Low Blow and a ton of other just really terrible action flicks that are going to be on IFC at some point.
I just don't know action movies. I've never been an action movie fan, and I don't know most of them.
Well, to be honest, I was never an action movie fanatic when I was growing up. I liked them, but I wasn't all into them. And I didn't actually watch Rambo all the way through till I was older, you know, and everything. I know.
And I've never watched Rambo.
Oh, you're
oh my God.
What about you?
No, I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. I love The Predator. You know, like I like Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, but I'm not a Sylvester Stallone fan, so I don't really know his movies.
Understandable. But what about you, Jeremiah? Were you ever in?
I am a traditional child of the 80s, and I think Predator came out in 87. I remember watching that on pay-per-view, and I love action movies. They're up there with horror for me. I love a good cheesy action movie.
So this was up your alley.
Oh,
see, and yeah. I never saw even Predator or anything until I was in my like late 20s, early 30s. You know, like I was born in 87, so I grew up in the 90s, you know, so it's like I just didn't get that era of like these action movies and the old school horror movies. Like I didn't get introduced to it, even the horror movies, till, you know, I was like 25, you know, so I'm just a late learner.
That's okay. That's what the show's here for. Introduce you to these fantastic, and introduce Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you hadn't actually, I don't think you'd actually seen this movie, had you?
No, I had not seen this movie. It was totally off my radar. It is very much on my radar now. My wife has similar taste. She loves a great terrible movie, and I told her, I said, yeah, I've got one that we need to sit down and watch together. So
did you guys sit down and watch it, or no?
Not yet. She didn't watch it with me. She was busy when I watched it, so I got to enjoy this by myself. Well, no, I take that back. My sons watched it with me.
Okay.
And I was going to watch this by myself, and then my boyfriend was like, well, just wait till I get home. We'll have a movie night. I was like, okay. And then he gets home and watches it and goes, you should have watched this without me. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
So this movie was no Flesh Gordon then, you know?
There wasn't enough TNA in it for me. And was not there, my body type either. Yeah.
Was there any really? Like there really wasn't. Like
there, I don't think was
there, the, was. There was Flesh there Gordon? Was the rape scene. No, we're talking about for this.
Oh,
But the was okay, the rape yeah, no, scene. But she didn't actually.
Yeah. Didn't show That's anything. What I'm saying. There was no DNA in this, like there wasn't Flash Gordon, so it didn't catch my attention.
I always say this, and it always throws people off guard. But a lot of people, when I watch these movies and they don't have the nudity in them and stuff, and especially a movie like this where you think that there would be a lot of nudity in it at some point or whatever, most of the time the actor is actually like one of their friends, you know, or whatever, you know, like the actress, and they're probably afraid to like go, hey, can we see your breasts for the scene, you know what I mean? When normally if they were getting a paid actress to do that, they would probably go with breasts, unless they were going to, and then she just asked not to at the last minute, you know, which has happened before, like on Toxic Avenger and other movies like that have done that.
Maybe it was for a ratings thing too. I don't know what the rating was on this movie, if it was PG or R.
It's got to be R. It's got to be R. Well,
I mean, there was no blood and there was no nudity. And I don't know if there was a whole lot of swearing. So maybe they got away with a lower rating.
Maybe. But I think it's got to be R, man. I don't know.
I mean, there's death, but not
and a fair amount of it. There's a decent body count on this.
Yeah.
Right. But there was actually no gore. There was no blood. There was no guts. No. There was no boobs.
That's what I was noticing. And did you guys notice like the main, you know, one of the main guys in the like the one of the main villains or whatever just kept shooting everybody? Like he has that one scene in the beginning of the movie that like guy messes up, like his employee messes up, and then he just shoots him. And then you know,
and they shot the farmers too.
Well, yeah, but that I kind of saw that coming, you know, like I didn't think they'd actually let anybody live that knew that they were out there. You know,
I think that's the only time I remember seeing blood is when they panned away and I saw some blood on his shirt.
Some blood. A little teeny tiny.
I think that was sort of their go-to trick was, you know, cut away, cut back, and now there's blood.
Yeah.
When there was blood.
Yeah. When there was. That should have been what this was called, When There Was Blood.
Yeah. Emphasis on.
I would assume a more female cast with that, but you know.
Oh, nice. I like that. But yeah, no, it was, oh man. So yeah, the guy's just killing off his crew, like his employees and stuff, you know, his other mercenaries. And I'm like, what kind of people allow them to do this? You know, like this just doesn't seem like this would be practical too. I mean,
I was asking the same thing.
They had a lot of people. I mean, they had like over 20, they had to have over 20 people, because the reason I say that is because like, it was like a kill per minute, you know, that they were having, you know, with this guy. And,
Not only that, but in the very beginning of the movie, they talk up this mercenary outfit like they are the baddest motherfuckers on earth. But then he's just offing guys left and right. And it's like,
They were very incompetent.
How many bad motherfuckers do you get on a daily basis signing up for this? You know, like, can you really afford to just grease dudes all the time?
My favorite one, if you're going to talk about that, is like they've got their back turned. They're all like looking around. They don't have one person like, you know, peering in the back. He takes a spear and throws it into the guy's back and then runs away. And I'm like, and then they run off and they don't start shooting, which would be my go-to thing is start shooting, you know, like everybody's so stupid. There's that scene with the guy who had the gun on him, and then he goes freeze. And I'm like, who the fuck says freeze? Like, this is
I kind of thought the same thing when he came up and was like, freeze. I'm like,
shoot him at that rate. But they can't shoot him because he's the main guy. So dumb.
I also enjoyed the fact that no one in this movie can hear or see anyone approaching them. Like every single time a character's like, well, I'm going to check this body for stuff, or I'm going to check this, or I'm going to look at this or do that or whatever. Immediately somebody sneaks up on them.
Also, my other favorite one was when they're all like, we can't find him. I don't know. Where do you go? We're going to, and he's fucking up in the tree.
Yes.
I'm like, literally.
I laughed so hard. And that was in the beginning of the movie too. So I just looked over at the person I was watching the movie with. They go, he literally was, all they had to do was look up. this movie already this movie.
You're rolling your eyes already, you know. And there's a lot of eye rolls in this thing. So I mean, it's one of those movies where, like, I love David Pryor. Like, I've seen some stuff that he's done that's actually really good, you know. This is not his best. This is probably not his worst too. Just know that, understand that. So this isn't his worst. Yeah. But this is a fun one, at least, you know, when you watch it, you're
for sure.
At least you're going, you know what, you know, like, cause you, Jeremiah, you've made, you know, movies that you probably go, you know, people are just going to enjoy this for what it is, you know? And that's what they made this. They were just like, you know what, this is a knockoff of Rambo. I mean, you know, we're pretty much doing that.
Yeah. And I can see if you like action movies and you're having a few beers, you know, it having a different take on you.
Maybe, especially, but you're still going to think it's a terrible movie. Especially
if you're watching it when it came out, you know, we are watching, you know, in 2022, is it now, you know, so it's been a while. Like it's been a while.
It's still new into 22.
It's as old as I am. That movie is 34 years old. I'm sad now.
Well, yeah, you're right, actually, if you think about it, because this movie was a VHS movie, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So people rented this on VHS in video stores, and they probably thought, you know, this wasn't terrible, you know, when it first came out. This was, you know, just another action flick.
It's a movie dad watched while he drank a few beers and the kids were outside playing. Like, he's like, all right, I got an action movie, man.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and back then action was a lot different than it is now. Like, we look at these things, we see all the flaws in it, but back then those weren't flaws, you know. I don't think people ever really considered no blood being, you know,
Like I said, back then they didn't have all the special effects that we have now, all the green screening, like they had stuff, but they were early into it. So it's just, we have higher expectations now, where then it was more of being chiseled and holding a weapon, you know.
I actually got the better title. I just figured it out. Better title, you know. Danton, which is his name, right? Mm-hmm. Like Rambo. Danton No Blood.
Danton No Blood.
It's not first blood. No blood.
Danton, I like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, because if you watch Sarah sometime, get a chance to watch First Blood. There is a lot of blood in that movie. Like, people are getting cut. Like, he's got that knife on the cover.
The Rambo knife.
Yeah. Basically, he's got the Rambo knife on the cover.
I've seen like poster artwork and stuff like that. I just never actually seen the movie.
I'm talking about for Deadly Prey. You know, he's got the Rambo knife.
And that one. Okay, I did look at some of the poster art for that one when I did Google it, and some of the poster art didn't look bad. It's just, you know, misleading.
Oh, it's misleading for a good movie, right? You know, because you look at it, you go, oh. You know.
Oh, it's a nice action movie. This guy's ripped. He's got a machete. He's got a knife. It's gonna be cool.
Well, the no blood thing I think is interesting too, because, like, I've definitely made movies where there was a lack of blood, because, quite frankly, we couldn't afford to get fake blood in somebody's mom's house, you know. but there's a helicopter in this movie, and I don't think it's stock footage.
We did make the joke that that's where the budget went.
Yeah. What a weird place to sink your entire budget.
Yeah, the helicopter.
No, but they have tanks. They have tanks and other things. Yeah, but nobody ever gets in the tanks. Like,
the helicopter, I'm sure, was expensive back in the 80s, though, and I think they blew their budget on that. But then a part of me went to, like, well, if they're all chasing him through the woods and going through these booby traps, so why not get in the helicopter and get him from above?
Right.
Yeah. Like, nobody ever was really... you know,
nobody knew what they were doing, but yet they're professional mercenaries and they're the best.
and they're like, he was literally doing it in their, like, turf, you know, like, they've been through these woods way more than he has, and he's there just taking people out left and right at first and everything. Right. And I was making the joke earlier with Jeremiah before you came on, Sarah, that there's like there's a scene where when he's shooting at the helicopter and stuff, right? There's a scene where he's got like one weapon, then he's got another weapon, then all of a sudden he's got like a rocket launcher. And I was making a joke like that was like a that was like a video game, like a Nintendo video
game. Right, where you can just switch your weapon.
Right, exactly. So you just switch whatever weapons you want to
right.
use. And it comes out of nowhere. It comes out of your butt, I guess, because like,
right.
If you ever played a video game, like Link, like look at it, like Adventures of Link. You get the stuff at the top. You can switch your sword and stuff like that. And
right.
It's just so strange because like, where are these things? You're not
carrying them. Yeah, where did that come from?
Yeah, it just magically appears. And that's what this movie felt like. It felt like, and you said, Jeremiah, that this is like the most, the best video game movie ever made, you know, right?
yeah, because, you know, you just hit the quick button to switch your inventory.
Right.
He just cycles through his weapons.
Exactly.
And I feel like there are some small references to Commando in this. And I'll give Commando credit. Yes, it was. It was like I think Commando was either 84 or 85.
Okay. I know Alyssa Milano was young, you know, and it was right about the time of Who's Your Boss, like right before she was about to be a star, you know.
And I feel like I missed a lot with this movie because I've never seen those movies. So I'm like, I know this is probably referencing stuff, or I know this is probably like the cheaper version of another movie that was big at the time, but it's like I never seen those movies, so I just assumed.
You know what? You're right. You're kind of right. What was the stuff that you were gonna mention, Jeremiah, that was like very much like Commando?
The opening credits, the close shots of whoever it was gearing up reminded me a lot of some similar shots from Commando, where Arnold gears up right before the very end of the movie. And I just immediately put me in mind of that scene from Commando. And then the gearing up at home, though, I suppose that's so cliche that maybe I can't give credit to Commando.
Well, right.
This movie definitely leans into the trope that all Vietnam veterans brought home like every weapon they were ever issued.
which my father's a Vietnam veteran and he didn't have any weapons, just PTSD.
Yeah, mine too. So it's sad, but at the same time, it's like these movies always like guys have like the exterminator. He has a flamethrower for whatever reason.
Yeah,
and this movie's got a law rocket.
And I could see this movie catering towards those veterans, you know, with the main guy being a Vietnam veteran and it coming out in the 80s. And like I said, my dad's a veteran. I could see my dad probably sitting at home watching this movie. And I bet you if I asked him, he's like, "Oh yeah, I remember that movie." I bet you it was geared towards those brave men in their recliners, you know, just watching this while I was playing Dolls in the other room, I'm sure. Wait, how was it born?
Well, you know, you're about to be born. But
yeah, right. I was in the other room just with my mom.
Yeah, you were. So it was just one of those things where you're right. I never thought about that, but I don't think the military would just let you bring home a bunch of gear, like a bunch of weapons like that. I mean, he would literally have to go someplace to get that gear, you know, right? And stuff, because it's not like, okay, we're gonna send you home. Here's a rifle and a bazooka right. and all the rocket launcher and all these things for you to just, you know, take home, grenades, you know.
No, sure,
take it.
Right. Yeah. The grenades were funny though, because like one of the guys just had grenades just sitting on the desk in front of him at all times.
Which they moved around for a little bit.
Right. The grenades were everywhere. They had so many grenades. And then he stuck the grenade down that one guy's pants. And then nothing was left but his boots. I'm like, oof, that's not how that works, but don't want to go that way.
My favorite other one was him putting the grenade under the guy's head. And I guess I don't even know how this magically happened, but when he like got up, it just went off, and I'm like, did you tie it? Like, I mean, what?
Right.
Like, I thought literally you just put it under, you know, right? Like, it was.
And then he scalped the guy. Like, why? I don't understand why he scalped the guy.
Well, he scalped the guy, I think, to show the guy, you know, instead of beheading the guy, because they probably didn't have the budget to get a fake.
Right. But it's like, there was no scalping prior. So it just seemed a little like, okay, well, why all of a sudden now do you want to scalp this guy? You know, and then he just kind of throws it at the boss. Like,
he throws it at the boss, and then he tells the guy to strip, and then he tells him to run. And then that's it. And that's the end of the movie. By the way, you were talking earlier, but there is a sequel, Deadliest Prey, and the Colonel lived, you know, by the way. So he's back, you know, for years later. However, Danton does not have a mullet in that movie or whatever.
You know, he's got those Ultimate Warrior vibes.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, I thought that too.
Well, that's why I was checking the casting. I was like, are there wrestlers in this? But I didn't see any.
I don't think so. Like, literally, the only two cast members who were actual names in the movie was Cameron Mitchell from before, the father, and the guy who played the guy who's funding the stuff. That was Troy Donahue. And Troy Donahue was in.
I want to say that's the one I looked up.
Okay, he was the guy that was in like Crybaby and The Godfather Part 2. I mean, he had been in a ton of movies. He was not the lead guy. He was the old man who...
Okay, I think that's the guy I looked up because his name sounded very familiar. And then that's when I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was 2001 he died. So that would be the guy.
That's the guy. Yeah, he had four wives. Most of them lasted a year or two.
You know what they say about, after your third wife, you gotta, you know... Gotta start giving up a
lot.
The
fourth one lasted like barely a year.
I mean, the fourth one lasted.
Big-headed action stars, you know.
No, well, I don't know. Was he an action star? I don't know. He'd been in a bunch of stuff though. He was. Problem is,
it's wild.
Okay, so maybe you guys can explain this to me. Why was he yelling so much? Like, not yelling like he was mad. He was just speaking way too loudly and when he was talking.
Maybe it was a mic issue. Maybe that's they didn't have enough mics for everybody.
That's what I was thinking. Because like at one point, like the guy's like, "Hello!" And he's like yelling at him. And I'm like, but he's not mad. So I'm just like,
loud.
He's just very loud. And I'm like, maybe the mic was only on the Colonel. And so he had to speak as loud as he could to get the, you know, whatever. Because there was a lot of that, you know, when he was talking to the Colonel and stuff. My other favorite bit is Cameron Mitchell and Troy Donahue together. That scene where he just like is giving him this long ass speech about how he, he loves his, like this guy gives bad names to everybody, and you know he needs to be put away in jail, and then he shoots him, he kills him, he just boom, and I'm like, and one shot too, just kills a guy, just you know.
There were a lot of one shot deaths. Like they couldn't afford more than one bullet at one point.
Didn't feel like
more I don't think they split. Could afford the acting either. Of pretending to die, you know, everybody just sort of keels over.
Yeah, when the farmers died, the you know, the old hillbilly dudes, that got me, because it's like the big old boy, he got shot in the bottom of his stomach, and I'm like, okay, first off, like he pretty thick. If that bullet hit him right there, I'm pretty sure that wasn't an instant fall to the ground death, bleed out maybe.
Probably not.
But I don't think that particular shot would have just made him fall down dead. You know, so I the other guy got shot more in the heart. I could believe that. But yeah, the deaths were a little like one shot, oop, dead.
Yeah.
Well, and the reverse of that is also true, because like grenades are constantly landing like right at Danton's feet. And all he ever does is like jazz hands and fall.
Yeah, he doesn't get blown up. It's like the dude is like indestructible, period.
Yeah.
All Colonel has to say to explain that one line is I trained him, and then all of a sudden as the audience go, oh my god, this guy is
when
like
I heard that he trained him though, I was like, but when he trained him, I was like, who picks these people though? Did you pick these people? Because wouldn't you have recognized somebody you trained when you were picking them for this project? Who picks these people and drops them in there?
Okay. So there's that scene where they're driving around trying to find somebody and they just picked him up out of nowhere. And the guy didn't know who the colonel was back in the base. These people are out in the woods. Okay, they just took him.
So he was just a random pickup. I missed that part.
Yeah, he was just like, he was literally out going to get like his paper, you know, for the morning.
But if you're picking somebody up for this, I wouldn't look at that guy and be like, oh, he'd be perfect. I'd look at him and be like, nope.
Well, no, because like the whole idea is you want somebody who's a little bit of a challenge, but you don't want somebody who's like too big of a challenge. You know what I mean? This guy was like, oh, shit. You know, like he's a one man killing machine, you know,
right?
I'm just surprised when he learned is though. Crazy.
Yeah, it is, because it just makes sense, because like if you learn though that the guy that you picked on, you know, just randomly picked, not is the guy you trained and another one of your soldiers' friends, wouldn't you just cancel the whole thing and pull him out and be like, hey, I'm sorry, bro, we're gonna go get somebody else, you want to join?
Yeah, you want to join us? We should all team up, you know, not come after you.
I mean, I would cancel the whole thing and be like, oh no, this guy is one of our guys. We honestly made a mistake.
If that were the turn that the movie went on, I would have went with it. Because like if they were just like, oh shit, this guy's so good, let's have him join our team and then pick somebody else.
Right? Do you have any enemies, man? We'll go get them.
I would have been like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Right?
Were you going to say Jeremiah?
The premise seems sort of silly to me as well, because these guys are supposed to be so elite and the colonel doesn't like training with war games because those are too fake. But getting a random civilian off the street is better than war games where professional soldiers practice tactics against each other versus just, you know, the H&R Block guy that you're going to chase through the woods and kill. Like, what are they learning?
I like, and the funny thing is, okay, so they're picking the guys on the street and they look down, they're like, no, not that guy. Because they like see some guy walking his dog or something, and they're like, oh, this guy looks foofy, you know, right? And then they're like, that's the guy. And I'm like thinking, yeah, that's the guy, like that's gonna fucking kill you. Like,
right,
you know, but all right, let's go with that. You know, it's like you pick, you know, Robert Carradine, you know, walking down the street, or you pick Dolph Lundgren, you know, which one are you gonna pick? You know, right. Now Robert Carradine, who knows, he's probably been in a few action films. I know he's the nerd guy, but he's probably been, you know, just like his brother, been in a few action films himself. But you know, like I still think I would pick you know, the nerd guy who, you know, maybe they didn't do it because that was the problem, you know, is that like that the last guy sucked. Remember that last guy, the first guy we see is running through the thing. He's like, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. And then I'm like, I think this guy's going to kill you.
How many times you scream that at them, they're going to shoot you. Like,
yeah, we as the audience better get somebody dead at that point. They better not be like, yeah, we're not going to kill you.
Like at this point, I want the machine because you won't stop screaming, don't shoot me. Yeah. You're getting on my nerves.
And the acting in that moment is so just chef's kiss. Yeah. Perfect. Because like his, right before they shoot him and he does his no, reminded me so much of the oh my God from Troll 2 that it just destroyed me.
Or the no from Revenge of the Sith. You know, or whatever. They don't go, no. You know, this just, you know what? I I'm gonna put this as a resolution, and from now on, I'm never gonna put a no scene in any of my movies. It just never go well. You know,
it just never works.
Yeah, it just never works. Nobody ever. Because how many times in life have you heard somebody scream no like that? You know, I mean,
right?
I mean, as far as I know, I've never, you know, anyway,
not but, unironically.
Yeah. So yeah, well, is there anything else that we need to sum this up with? Because I think we talked about like almost everything.
We talked about everything. The only part we didn't talk about were those awesome boulders that roll down the hill.
Yes. I wanted those. I want those for one of my movies.
I was like, those paper craft boulders rolling down them hill there, like that, that looked like you could do some damage.
I wonder how much that cost to make, you know? Like,
or maybe it was just a craft project. They got, you know, right. All the actors together, some of the crew. All the kids
just made them. Yeah. Paper machine.
I mean, if you look at the credits in this movie, there's a cast list in this movie, or credits, like there's crew, cast, everything, you know, like it's
took a lot of people to get this thing together, I'm guessing.
Sadly, so when like nowadays this kind of movie can be made like that, you right. know, like
we did make the comments like I could redo that in my backyard, it'll be awesome, like we have snakes, we could do it.
The only thing you couldn't do, which I will give them props for, is finding a military base, because they had tanks all over the place, they had tents and all that.
I still suspect that was a museum or something. Over in
Fort Hood. Fort Hood. So yeah, I were over around New Year's Eve, I was driving around a bunch of takes and stuff, like I can make it happen.
All right, well then that's gonna be a you know, Sick Flick Productions you know, task right there, is right. making a remake, you know, sort of. Well, we can't make a remake because we don't have the rights to it, but we'll make a, you know, our own version.
Can I be Dalton? It'll be hilarious.
The female Dalton. I mean, you know, yeah. with the way the world is going now, I wouldn't be surprised if that's a thing anyway. So, you know, might as well go. let's just not go woke on this. You know, like, all
he could rescue. She could rescue her husband instead. He could get his head blown off.
That would probably be the woke version of it.
There's nothing wrong with a strong female lead, though.
No.
I love a good movie with a woman kicking ass.
Buffy, right? Man.
I honestly would love it. I think it would be awesome if they were all just butch women, just buff, like bodybuilder style, like WWE wrestling style. Like,
I think it'd be more fun if it's like the girl fighting all the guys, but it's not like, it's not because like the guys are bad guys, like all of them, like rapist sons of bitches, you know, right. or something. Like they're just mercenaries that are just doing their job, right. you know, like, which right. is so funny because like, yeah, they're doing their job and there's like parts where just like the people are just, you can tell like the people are new, you know,
right.
and yeah, the people are just like,
job, quote, quote, but it seems more like they're just playing a sport and doing it for fun.
The most dangerous game. There you go. That's like the whole idea. So that's yep. where it comes back to. You should watch that. It's really good. It's really good. And then there's been so many sort of remakes of it, you know, especially in the fantasy / horror genre. Mm-hmm. We watched, Paul and I watched one that was in the, like, was it on a, it was a, it was one that had Brink Stevens in it. I'm sure you know this, Jeremiah. It's got Brink Stevens, and it was about like these aliens that crash land on this property in Earth or whatever, and the guy like basically kidnaps them and makes them play, you know, go out and get killed or something. I don't know.
I'm drawing a blank on that one.
It's not, it's one of her most famous ones too. Jesus Christ, that's gonna bother me. I can't remember that. We did it for Blue Cheese. It's not Cannibal Women, I don't think. No, it's Slave Girls from Beyond Infinity. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie or not, but it's fantastic.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a really great movie. All right, anyway, moving on. We're gonna get to our rating part. So unless there's anything that you guys needed to think, we talked about everything. So I think we got it.
We did now.
So let me introduce the stinkometer. You are familiar with it, Jeremiah, because we did yours, you know, and everything. But now it's your turn to rate. Ha ha ha. Another movie. So I wish we could get more directors to come on that we've done their, you know, things. They get their, you know, get their say and.
They should,
you know, but anyway, so the stinkometer is a 1 to 10 rating, 1 being very good and 10 being very stinky and bad. And you, if you feel like you have to give it a half step. You could do 5.5 or 6.5, you know, something like that, if you feel like you need to. And I feel like Sarah's already got a one in her head. So let's go off with you, Sarah. What would you say?
I mean, would it be bad to give it a 2?
You liked it that much?
No, it wasn't bad. Oh, or is it a higher?
It'll be 8. It would be an 8. Yeah, it'll be an 8.
Okay, because whatever one of the most worst is, that's where I'm headed, because I hated it.
But it wasn't the worst, though, right? Like, it wasn't a 10.
Yeah, I'll do 8, because, like I said, for its time, like, I get where it was going, and I just understand that I don't quite get it, because I don't know 80s action movies either, so I'm going to cut it a little slack because of my ignorance, but I will give it an 8 just because there were a lot of issues. There was a lot of plot issues. There's just issues all around. And I kept looking at the clock and looking at the thing going, is it over yet? Is it over yet? Which means 8 for me.
Yep, exactly. Okay. What about you, Jeremiah?
Oh, I mean, I'm probably going to put it somewhere in that ballpark. I can't rate it the worst I've ever seen. It's no Manos.
Right.
But I think I'm gonna go one lower and say a 7, mm-hmm. and say that it was pretty bad, but that's what I love about it. So I'll put an asterisk next to my 7.
Yeah. Okay. No, I get that.
I know some people love stinky movies. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jeremiah, that's why we have you on the show, is because when we did the interview with you for Indie Film Cafe Spotlight, you sort of talked about how much you love these movies, you know, and stuff. You
have a
soft spot for, you know, sort of bad, cheesy movies. And so we're we got to get you on our show. Paul wants to get you on, I think, at some point, you know, too. So at some point, you know, whenever like things happen. And I'm sure he'll want to get you on there too, Sarah. I would go with an 8 as well. And the reason I picked 8 and sort of 8 was there for a while. And then I was wondering if I was going to go higher or lower based on our discussion and everything, but never really wavered. It's not bad enough to be like a 10, you know, where it's so bad, it's good, or it's so bad, it's bad, you know, kind of thing. It's just not very good. It has a lot of problems to it, a lot of which seem to be things that they could have fixed, you know, like the blood. I mean, come on, a couple extra bucks, they could have made some fake blood.
Right, some corn syrup. Yeah.
Corn syrup, something, you know, yeah, it wouldn't have been that hard. But they didn't, and that made it look really cheap and tacky and bad at times when it probably didn't need to be. So I would say, yeah, I would go with... I would go with an 8, and 9 is too close to a 10. You know, that it just would feel like that's, you know, so bad. So, you know, anyway, that's what I would say, 8. You know, so there we go. So a 7 and 2 8s. You know, and 23 is what that is on our, you know, stink ladder. We have a ladder of stink, and we've got so many. You might actually get a kick out of this, Jeremiah, because you might know
the only cheese I don't like is cheesy movies, usually, like stinky movies.
You don't like stink? Well, no,
I'm not a huge fan of stinky movies, because I'm big on continuity and like realisticness, like, you know, like just being believable, and the acting.
That's right. We've kind of been nice to you a little bit, you know, with our stuff, you know.
Have you? I'm scared then.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure whatever.
There was that one movie that y'all made me do that was like chopped up from like the 50s and the 60s, and some of it was from another country with all those cave people.
Oh, yeah. That was, which one was? That was pretty bad. What the fuck was it called? It should be up there. Yeah, you rated it high, I believe. But yeah, the movie.
I'm not I'm not used to these stinky movies. Maybe I'll start to like them. And you guys thought like Flesh Gordon was gonna be a problem. I loved it because I'm a dirty bird. I love Flesh Gordon. Oh, that shit was funny to me.
All right, so it was a 23 that we gave it, and that puts it up with Roller Gator and Suburban Sasquatch.
See, why am I not watching these movies? My nickname is Squatch.
We should probably get you to watch that. So we'll do that for Patreon only at some point. What is it? Horror of the Blood Monsters, I believe, is what you watched. You know, before. So
yeah, I think so, because they were supposed to be some sort of vampire monsters, but only through part of the movie, because the other part of the movie was from another decade
in space. You know, so it's like. It was the weirdest.
There was space involved. It was weird.
But then she also showed you Faster Pussycat Kill Kill, which right. is just a classic.
I'm glad I got Love to see it because it's a classic, but I mean, it just was, I was bored and waiting for it to be over with too, but yeah.
It's, you know, some of these movies I get like some of that. I really enjoyed it just because I was like, this is my first Russ Meyer movie, so I still
yeah, I don't know who any of these people are. Like to me, like I don't have the fandom, and right. I just have like I guess the age gap. I don't know. Like I was happy to watch it so I could get some Rob Zombie references because I'm a huge Rob Zombie fan.
Yeah.
You know, so like I know he's a huge horror fan. I love his movies. I love his music. So I do like that I can now reference a little bit of what he used for inspiration. But I don't know who like the directors and stuff. Like, I just don't know who these yeah. people are.
Jeremiah, you do. So like when I yeah, mentioned Russ yeah. Meyer, you went crazy about that. Was,
oh you know. Yeah, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill is one of my all time favorites. Yeah, Turo Santana is amazing in that movie.
Mm.
And had she her in that movie really stuck with me for ever since I first saw it right after high school, I think.
See, and I didn't see these movies in like key points of my life, you know, like when I was a kid or when I had puberty or any of this other stuff, you know, so it's like it wasn't focus points for me. Like I'm seeing these movies, these older movies, as an adult, and I mean like an adult married with kids, so I'm like it just doesn't have that same grasp to me as I feel it would if I watched it when I was like a preteen or something.
Well, that's true, but I me too, but I watch them now because as a filmmaker and podcaster and all this stuff, I feel like it's my duty and
you can tie that in though, because you're a director and a filmmaker, you know, all these celebrities, all these big names, all these director names mean something to you, where I don't know who any of these people yeah. are.
And that's the thing. Well,
I'm just being a little, you know, other view here.
Yep. Well, that's perfect. Well, thank you guys, both of you for coming on the show.
Sure.
First off, Jeremiah, do you have anything happening right now? Is there anything going on?
No. No, I've got nothing going on.
Really?
Hopefully that'll change sometime soon, but not at the moment.
Okay. How can people reach you if they need to contact you about anything?
I'm pretty easy to find on Facebook. Just look my name up there. I'm hold of me if need be through on Facebook. We have a page for the Biker Warrior Babe versus the Zombie Babies from
that's Metal. Where we found you.
Yes. And I respond to that stuff pretty quickly usually. So yeah, if anybody wants to get a hold of me, feel free.
How we found him was we tagged the page, and all of a sudden you liked it as the page and stuff, and you actually shared it, and we were like dumbfounded because we didn't. And I remember that second, because I messaged Paul and I was like, oh my god, the guy who runs the page for, because I didn't know it was you, but I was like, the guy who runs the page for, you know, Biker Warrior Babes liked our page and you know, shared it. So I don't know what you're thinking at this rate, and I'm like, oh man, he's gonna block us. Like, you know, we dissect the movies and we're honest, and that gets us into a lot of trouble sometimes, you know, because people don't like, you know, don't like negative stuff. And I'm sorry, but some of these movies aren't great. Now,
I don't have nothing to lose, so I'll rip them.
Yeah. but that's the thing. I mean, I think that like all reviewers should be honest, you know.
Right. I'm not going to fake my review. I'm not going to lie and say I liked it when I didn't.
Yeah. If you didn't like a movie, tell, you know, say it, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not going to be mean and try to hurt people's feelings, you know, but I will give my honest opinion on here.
Yeah. And we've gotten into some trouble. Some people have blocked us. Some people have deleted us because of our opinions. And that's okay. You know,
that's okay. They're lost. You know, everybody has their own opinions.
Right. They're not going to make it very well, you know, very far if they're, you know, if they get butthurt over critics, because we do always say on our reviews and stuff like, hey, you know, you know, this is where you can find it. You know, this is where you can find the films, and we support people going out and buying it, like, and everything. Right. You know,
I actually do still plan on finding myself a copy of Flesh Gordon to have around the house.
Yeah, there's was nice. It Flesh Gordon meets the, or was it, yeah,
the Space Cheerleaders or something like that?
Cheerleader, yeah, something, I don't know. It was, have you ever heard of that, Jeremiah? Like, it's like,
oh yeah,
the sequel to the
they
porno.
Introduced me to that gem recently.
Yeah, that was
that's
our,
fantastic.
I want to see the, now I want to see the original,
the porn one. Yeah, yes. Well, I told you before, get with Paul and so have him be a part of sex exploitation.
Speaking of that, now are you gonna ask me how to find me?
Yes, exactly. How can we find you, and what have you been up to?
I haven't been up to a whole lot because I'm moving, but I am broadening my social media, and I'm putting myself out there a lot more because I finally am building this little studio for myself, so I will be able to create more stuff because you know, I am one of those retired day job people, and I am now one of those stay-at-home only fan models, so go me, you know. So you can find me on Instagram at the official Virginia Church, which is official_Virginia_church, or you could follow my Instagram Suicide Watch with an underscore in the middle. Yes. S Suicide, like with the little W and the U and the W. And that's my regular stuff. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me, you know, on OnlyFans, all over under Virginia Church. And the main project I have going on right now is with the lovely Jonathan, and that's the Horror Film Lovers podcast, which we will be filming another episode soon. We are coming back. You know, we got a whole year plan of great stuff.
We did one.
And my own creations here too. So
yeah, we did one already. And
we did out. And it's about to come out, or did it just, well, no, it just came out.
So, and the next one will be out in February as well, so
yeah, go check this out, will be out lovers. Yeah. And you'll see a bunch of our reviews,
definitely. And I'm sure Jeremiah, one day maybe you'll be into podcasts and stuff, doing your own seems to be what a lot of, sure, like, you know, people who love the genre / people who filmmakers are getting into it a lot more. It's a way to reach out and get in touch and network, you know, more. And that's sure, what we love to do. So, and maybe we'll get you on as a guest for Horror Film Lovers, and we'll show you a good horror film.
I'll look forward to your movies and see which one will be the best for you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I would be more than happy there.
Okay. Well, he's saying that now. He has to say, because he can't be like, nah, publicly. But thank you.
I just can't think that you're gonna throw anything at me that I'm gonna just absolutely hate. Now, maybe I'm challenging you with that, but
because it is, that podcast is movies we actually like.
Yeah.
Oh, then perfect.
So, yeah. No, it's called Horror Film Lovers, you know, and it's like basically horror films we love, you know,
right,
and everything.
So me and Jonathan will just take turns picking some of our favorite ones, or ones that we just really enjoyed.
Yeah, because we got to a point really where we're just like, well, I mean, at least me, I just get kind of tired of just doing independent films, or I get tired of doing, you know, like regular horror, like regular Hollywood films.
Way to kind of introduce some movies that we enjoy to other people. Spread the word.
Exactly. You know.
Sure.
So what are you up to right now, Jonathan? Do you have any new projects going on that you want to plug before we
Nobody usually asks me, so it's nice. No, I mean, I just got this going on. I mean, if you go to indiefilmcafe.reviews, indiefilmcafe.poppy.com, Look us up on YouTube as Indie Film Cafe, or go to sickflickproductions.com or our patreon.com/indiefilmcafe. You'll see lots of information. I mean, if you Google Indie Film Cafe, the network will pop up.
Right.
So we got so much going on. Look up
Indie Film Cafe, because you will see so many different podcasts and stuff that Jonathan is working on, and just tons and tons of stuff.
A friend of mine said today, because I promoted all the stuff that we've got going on, and she was just like, how do you keep track of all of this? And I was like, I have a schedule for every day of the week. You know, like I have things scheduled. Like I have things scheduled months in advance.
Yeah, you're a busy man. You got lots of projects going on, and we look forward to the next one.
Exactly. And thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on like last minute and chatting with us and everything. We, especially a movie that you just like when you saw, I love your text to me. You're like, this is an action movie, isn't it? I was like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh, yeah. The whole time I was like, Jonathan's lucky that I love him, because
normally this would not be something you would sit through, but I'm glad you did. Hey, I mean, look, it could have been worse. It could have been Troll 2.
It could have been worse. That's right.
It could have been Troll 2.
It was so fun.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. You guys stick around real quick. But everybody else, thank you guys so much, and check us out next week with a whole brand new episode of Indie Film Cafe. Bye.
Bye.